Genesis chapter 39. Finest condition for my daddy. Get him, boy. If he was still here, I'd get him. He'd be all right until he started preaching. And I just really thought about that. Man. So God must have a purpose. He must have a purpose in that. Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1, going down to verse 21. I've been called like I'm always picking on somebody, Brother Dan. I'm going to have Sister Elise read the first 15 verses.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him in from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Pharaoh's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in his house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he had heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
the faithfulness of God in a strange land. The faithfulness of God in a strange land. Last week we talked about Joseph and his issues with his brothers, and actually made an offhand remark, Pastor. I said, don't y'all tell the pastor what was went on here. And of course, Sister Jones, in her own way, she said that would be tattletelling. And we actually spoke about that. So we actually talked about Joseph and his status with his father, the coat of many colors, what it meant. And Reuben lost his birthright because he had done something with one of the handmaidens of the father, and he had lost his birthright, and Joseph had that birthright now. So he was the one to get the double portion. Joseph was a, how can I say it? He was a character, if I could put it lightly. He would tell you what he thought. He didn't hold back because he sure told those two dreams to his brothers, and they really hated him before the dreams, but he told them anyway, and they were really mad after the dreams. In your situation where you're at now, how was God working now in your situation? Well, the one I have now, the husband I have now, the wife I have now, the house I have now don't seem to be what I want, Pastor. But how is God really working in your life right now? My business this morning is to put you on alert. Wherever you are this morning, God has a plan for you. No matter how, Brother Dan, jacked up your situation is, he's got a plan for you inside that situation. We also talked about James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations and various trials, for they come with a purpose. They come to finish the job in you that God is working out in your life. And I encouraged you then to stop trying to get out of where you are until it's finished with you. We have been spoiled, Sister Marilyn, by the microwave in our house. And I, most of all, I wouldn't dare cook bacon in the skillet no more because it just takes too long. I'd have to get up a little earlier, Pastor, to cook that bacon if I wanted it. But if I used the microwave, I could stay in the bed a little longer. And I could just get up, put it on a plate, put a paper towel, put it in there. Boop, 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 boop. 3-something minutes, I'm ready to eat. But I'm spoiled now. I want it to be over like I used to pop my finger. Come on, Archie. Pop. I want it to be over like that. You know, you get old, you get arthritis in the knuckle. Stop laughing. And you can't make the thing swing no more. So, the life of Joseph this week. God has a plan for Joseph's life. It started back in the land of Cana, where he was sojourning with his father and his brothers. He had a dream. One dream was they were in the fields and they were gathering wheat, and they put them in sheaves and they tied them together, he and his brothers. And his dream said that while we were there cultivating, your sheaves that you put together and tied together and sit down, they fell down to my sheaves. His brothers knew exactly what he was talking about. They say, are we going to bow down to you, big mouth? You tell everything that God has given you to tell. And we going to bow down to you? Second dream. the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down. Joseph's father say, wait a minute, son. Do you mean that me and your mother and your brother's going to bow to you too? Yes. The plan of God is deep, Sister Brenda. Why do you have a situation that's sickness in your body? God has a plan for you right where you are. My kidneys don't function right, really. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. God has a plan for you. He don't need nobody with two good kidneys. He can, by his power, make it work out in you. That's why God said to Paul, praying that the thorn of the flesh be removed. God says to him, Brother Ernest, he entreated God three times. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my power is made perfect. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my weakness now, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Joseph goes to Egypt. We also talked about last week, I'm going to hit it here in a minute. I ain't going to be here long. About God making a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 16. He gives him an outline of what his descendants are going to do. He said they're going to be in a land sojourning that's not their own. Not only that, but they're going to go to a land that is not theirs at all. And they're going to become servants while they're there. God prophetically said this to Abraham, meaning I got a plan and I got a destination for your people. Listen, the same thing he said to them is the same thing he said to you now. I got a plan and a destination for you. Not only did he tell them that, but now how is God going to get Joseph or get his people from sojourning into a place that's not his own? Interesting. Now, if it was me, I'd say, let's push the microwave button and let's all hop in the car, Sister Brenda, and let's just ride on down to Egypt. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for him to move through to Egypt by some adversity, and then by another piece of adversity, and then by another piece of adversity. We act like adversity is something that is going to kill us. And all it really comes to do is to shape us. Rough edge here. I used to curse you out and come just shave that off you. That's a good shirt too, Pastor. His brothers hate him. They throw him in a pit. They say, we ain't going to make no money like that. Let's get him up out the pit. We see some traitors coming, brother. We get him out. He get him out the pit. Joseph for sale. Joseph for sale. They purchased Joseph. And now he's on the way where? To Egypt. He didn't take the bus. He took the slavery route. He on his way to Egypt. God's word is what? Coming to pass. It looked messed up, Brother Eric, but his word is coming to pass. Y'all catch where I'm going here. Shaky as it may be, the boat is rocking, but his word is coming to pass. I don't care where you are, his word is coming to pass in you. On the way to Egypt, You know what? Think about it. God with you. You're going according to his plan. And all kind of storms are rolling up. God told the disciples, go over to the other side. Bam. He didn't tell them that in the middle of that thing, it's going to be a storm or two. A storm or two. But he told them to go over to the other side. In your life, it's not going to be an easy trek to get where you need to go. He's on his way to Egypt. He gets to Egypt. Listen, he's a Hebrew. He's in a foreign land, a foreign language. No friends, nobody there but him. Listen, you all. If God is for you, he's more than the world that's against you. He don't know nobody. It says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And I don't care what has happened up to that point. It says the Lord was with Joseph. It's interesting enough. Yesterday we talked about observation too. If you're a Christian, somebody should be able to observe something in your life. Somebody should know that you're a Christian. Potiphar, after he bought Joseph, noticed that God was with Joseph. I wonder on my job, can they say that about Billy? That God is with Billy. Can he say that about you all? Is God with you all? I don't care if you work or not. At your home, can it be said of you? God made him successful in everything he did inside of, listen. If you bought somebody with your money during this time, they would usually wind up in your house, serving you in your house. But somebody who is taken in the spoils of war, you put them out in the field. Now God, he showed grace. He didn't get Joseph up there and he's out in the field, toiling in the field. He got him in the master's house in Egypt. Listen, I was thinking as I was working this week. Did God keep Lens Automotive in business until I got there? Did y'all catch what I said? Did he keep the place that I had to work at in business till I got there? Yes, he did. Because he had a plan for Billy to go from Northwest Auto and Tire to Lens Automotive. And it had to be there when I got there. The Bible says that God blessed the house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Wherever you are, God is blessing that place on account of you. Listen, it said the word Lord, which is really Jehovah. This covenant-keeping, self-existing God has now guided this boy by his power to Egypt. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Beginning at verse 7. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Joseph in a strange place, strange land, no friends, language strange, everything strange. Psalm 139, verse 7, verse 9. Read that.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
Wait a minute. The principle of this whole thing is no matter where you are, if you belong to God, he's there with you. I don't care where you are, he's with you. I don't care how bad your situation looks, he's with you. You know, Go ahead, finish, and I'll share some.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me, and the light about me, night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is a light with you.
Amen. We actually fell on hard times, me and this girl here, and we lost our house. Man, I was saying, wow, this is some rough stuff here. I guess this is the end of my life, really, because I done lost everything. God has a way. Listen. While we were moving out of that house,
all right,
I got to give the gospel to my nephews. Now, listen, you all. If I have to lose everything to give the gospel to somebody who needs it, I'm ready.
All right.
God has now prepared me that it doesn't make no difference what I have, what I don't have. All I really want to do is please him. And if I got to lose everything, Brother Dale, to do what he told me to do, I'm willing to do it. I never told nobody that before in my life. Man. God got a way of busting down pride. He'll break you down to where, now if I can tell that to somebody and that help you, I'll give it up. I didn't used to do that, right, Audrey? She'd have to say that real loud, did she? I didn't used to do that, but if it could help you, I'll do it. I don't care how it make me look. I'll do it. God is always with you. Listen, I gave my nephews the gospel. All of them but one got baptized into the faith here not too long ago.
Right.
If I got to give it all up, I'll do it.
Okay.
Listen, Joseph was doing well in what he was doing. As messed up as it was, he got up here. Potiphar observed the Lord working with him. So he's in the house doing good stuff. Now he's been elevated. He's all right now. Oh, the storm is over. The storm is over. Young, good-looking guy. Body. the Egyptian wife of Potiphar started looking at Joseph. Come lay with me. Not only once, but the Bible says day after day after day. And he said, no. The integrity of somebody in Christ. And you know that you in Christ. And that you know that you are where he has you to be. You're not going to mess that up. I don't care what it is. He's a young guy. I'm sure he has some desires. But God is in control. God is in control. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Day after day, she keeps saying. And one day, come here, babe. Sorry. I wasn't going to call on her, but she made me. One day, she grabbed a hold to his cloak. Ooh. That was good. That was good. Listen. She grabbed a hold to his cloak. She said, come lie with me. Because God had his heart and his mind. She had his cloak, but she didn't have him. She didn't have him because God had him.
That's right.
The same way God has you, God had Joseph. Listen, the evidence, hold on to that, sister. The evidence was left with the one who took his coat. It was there for all to see, but Joseph wasn't there. He was gone. The Bible says flee. Certain things you got to get away from. In certain places, certain temptations that get you, you got to run. Don't stand and talk about I'm fighting. You got to run. The evidence is there. She needs some corroborating testimony. Something that will agree with what she said. Therefore, she called the people in the house. They come and see this cloak? He was here, now he's gone. He was trying to do something to me. I hollered and he ran. Potiphar come in. Boy, this reminds me of something. My uncle up in Oklahoma, boy, I used to hate for him to come in and we six boys that messed up. He gonna tear us up. He at work. We done messed up. We waiting to get our whooping. Up like that, man. Not everybody gonna get it. Listen, Joseph is messed up because Potiphar's coming home. She keeps this lying beside her as evidence that Joseph was there. Potiphar come in, she tell Potiphar. Potiphar gets angry. But the response of Potiphar was interesting. Now, if somebody has done something to my wife, I wouldn't try to kill you. I would call the police. Pastor, I'd call the police. I wouldn't try to do nothing to you. Yeah, it sounds like you really believe me. Listen. Potiphar puts Joseph where the king's people that are in his prison, he puts them in there. He don't kill him, but he put him in a medium security institution where the king puts his prisoners. Listen, the character of Joseph is on display. I know his character. I saw him work, and I know her character too. That's what it says. Listen, Joseph said, before this, he said, now how in the world can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen, he still got a regard for a God that has him going in a rough direction. I'm still not going to do it. I don't care how rough it is. I'm not going to do it. Listen, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That's another aspect of the journey. It wasn't over with Joseph yet. He still had a little ways to go. Can I encourage you? Wherever you are, it's not over with you either. You're not finished yet. You won't be finished until you're dead. With the sawing, I'm going to get on this good shirt again. The sawing, greed, I got to saw it off. Jealousy, I got to saw it off. You're not finished yet. God ain't finished with you. And that should encourage you. Because if he's, listen, if he's not straightening you out, I don't think you belong to him no more. Or have never belonged to him. Well, my nose and get wet now. I better sit down now. The faithfulness of God in a strange land. The children of Israel were taken captive in land. And the captors asked them, sing us some of those songs of Zion. And they said, how in the world can we sing when we're in a strange land? I say to you this morning, you are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. This is your strange land. You now must represent the living God. Where you are. Faithfulness of God in a strange land. If you would, let's go to Matthew 5:16 real quick and then I'll sit down. God has created good works for us to do if you belong to him. He has created good works for us to do. Brother Dale, can you read that for me, please? Matthew 5:16. Observation. If my light is shining, it don't matter how dark it is. Have you all ever been in one of those caves down there? What are they called? Merrimack Caverns. And they shut the lights off. It's a panic situation for me. I can't see my hand. But the smallest amount of light illuminates my hand. Shine by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody will be impacted because it don't. Audrey read, darkness is as daytime to God. Yeah. Let your light so shine so that somebody will see your works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. I hope you were encouraged. Amen. I don't see no stones in your hand, so I think I'm all right, Pastor. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity today.